Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106-5251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, hit us up there. We'll get to your text over the next few segments. Joining us now on the line, we do this every other Monday, but we get to hear from State Representative Shane Stringer Citronelle. Representative, how are you?
Doing great, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. Well, you're surviving. Get a little break here, but how are things going for you up at the State House?
Yeah, it's going okay. Ready for, like everybody, ready for this session to be over. But had some, pretty decent success in getting a couple bills that I needed passed. Looks like one may be left on the table dealing with Big Creek Lake, but we'll just have to come back and tackle it again next year.
Yeah, and that's not going to go away. No matter how many times their lobbyist or whoever come back and get that killed, you're going to stay on this one, I assume.
Yeah, this is something that needs to be done, and it's near and dear to my heart, man. There's absolutely no reason that we should be arresting fishermen for just getting out on the water there. So I'm going to be standing up for our people, and Andy Ellsworth is the one that we're dealing with right now. But if we're not able to fix it, then Andy won't be the only one.
Well, and kind of walk us through that real quick. That is just... You're kind of go back to a somewhat status quo and not just let this happen through, I don't know where the power is derived from, but some kind of fiat.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty complicated situation. I thought it wouldn't be at first, but going on 2 years of fighting this situation and trying to bring legislation to, one, get the Mobile Area Water System, get their board in check and make sure their powers are not more than what they should be. And, I don't think anybody's not once said that we don't need to worry about the quality of water or take care of that. That's not the case. We just want to find that balance that can be found in there and trying to address that. But it's turned into a long, drawed-out process. I've had two or three bills trying to address Big Creek Lake. And, of course, we'll do more, potentially looking at trying to, redo the board, make up, and try to make sure everybody that is players in this need to be involved in their board makeup. So a lot of work to be done dealing with the mall situation.
Yeah, we're certainly keeping an eye on that. Let's move on to other matters. So the session's winding down. I think, 3-day week next week, and then I don't know what you'll do with the next whatever remainder there is, 2-3 days. But I guess kind of talking to some of your colleagues, the sooner the better to get those wound down.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we're hearing. And, I think everybody up there, including the staff, are ready for us to go home. It's by far been one of the most stressful sessions that I've ever been in. And, hopefully we can get it over with and everybody can get back home and, try to get things calmed down. Hopefully we don't, we can get the things we need passed, and some of the stuff that don't need to pass, we can block that before the session's over.
Yeah, and so you'll get the budgets, I assume, knocked out next week, and then maybe you'll have a couple of crazy days there at the end. But I don't know how much energy there is left for anything unexpected.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think the members have really had enough of this session. So I don't know. Be interesting to see. I know that we still got the closed primary bill that passed the House that, should go up to the Senate, see what they're going to do with that. Then we've got the Matt Butler's PSC bill, see what is going to happen with that one. But hopefully, Max bill will pass. That is extremely important. And I think the closed primary bill should pass too.
What is your feeling on the Senate version of the PSC bill with the congressional districts? And I guess it's not rate case hearings, but rate hearings or whatever. What are you hearing on that? Because it just seems like you do eventually. I guess at best there'll be some kind of compromise here.
Yeah, personally, I like Matt Butler's bill better. I think it really addresses some of the core concerns that people have and should have a awesome chance of addressing the high utility rates we're seeing across especially the South Alabama. But the other one, I like you said, there may be some compromise come between the two and try to come up with something, but you know, I guess we'll see what they come out with as a final version, but I personally like Matt Butler's deal better.
Yeah, I wonder if, you know, that because they're very, very different bills. They have their own, you know, their own tenets or whatever. But, coming to a compromise there, being that far apart, I would have to imagine this is whatever, if anything's going to come out of the Senate and the House, it's not going to look like either Mac Butler's or Clyde Chambliss's bills.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say. I know Senator Tuberville is pushing the Senate version, and from what I'm gathering, that's the bill he likes. So I don't know. We're going to, you know, let this play out over the next 2 weeks, and we'll see how it ends. Hopefully it absolutely ends in a favorable way for our citizens and our constituents.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. Representative, I watched a lot of the House. I guess first of all, we'll talk about, we mentioned it, the closed primaries. I don't know. It seemed like it had pretty much broad support. The Democrats obviously voting against it, but I don't know what the future has in store, if it will see the light of day in the House, but is this something you feel like could come back again over and over again if it doesn't get out of the Senate?
It's hard to say. A lot of times, you know, this depends on the where leadership is and if leadership wants it to pass and wants it to go forward, but I don't know. I'm not really sure which way this one will go. So we'll keep an eye on it. And hopefully, you know, we can get it addressed, and if it needs to pass, we'll get it passed. If it don't, then hopefully we can figure out ways to hopefully better protect our Republican Party.
Yeah. And walk us through that. I mean, it seems like, you know, a couple of things there. I don't see it as something that the argument about it suppressing the vote seems a little thin to me. But beyond that, looking at it, and we have essentially, if not just Democrats, but the public at large, electing members of the executive committee. I mean, those guys are on the ballot a lot of times. And you know, I don't know that it necessarily impacts the, I think it does in some ways, who the nominees might be, that you could have a dilution of Republican ideas if you have a bunch of Democrats voting in a Republican primary or vice versa, if a bunch of Republicans voting in a Democrat primary.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a balance to be found in how we're doing this. And, you know, of course, the Democratic Party has their values, and the Republican Party has their values. So we absolutely want to select members that are more in line with our values or in line with our values and going to hopefully support that. So it's important to me. I would like to make sure that we're maintaining the integrity of our party, but I also want to make sure that we're not excluding anybody, you know, from voting, which I still don't think we do.
There's some talk about overtime tax relief. I think Representative Lomax has it in your chamber. Are you hearing anything about that bill moving in the next week or two?
I have not. You know, we're watching it to see what happens. Of course, as you know, I've supported that measure from the beginning, still think that we should have it in place. I think it's a great thing for our working people, and I think it's something that we could do to incentivize the workers, the people that are going the extra mile and working the overtime hours, from all of our first responders right here in Mobile County, our fire, police, and EMS, to all of the industry and plants up and down 43 and around Mobile County. I think it's a very, very important hot topic issue in our area.
Hey, another Ernie Arborough bill got through last week, the Lincoln Riley Act. You and I have talked about this, and I mean, it had a tough, tough path in judiciary. Not so tough last week on the floor, but just kind of reiterate it. It seems like it's putting something out there that allows for this voluntary cooperation, and you being in this arena of law enforcement, I you know, it just seems like an idea that we probably already are doing, but just, I guess, codifies it.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the deal. It codifies what we're already doing, and, you know, it's a common sense measure. It's a absolute needed measure. It just makes sure it's a checks and balance in our law enforcement system that makes sure we're all working together on the state, county, local, and federal level to make sure that we don't have anybody slip through the cracks, just like the gentleman that we just dealt with here in Mobile that is accused of killing three family members that was recovered over in Baldwin County. Those type situations are preventable in a lot of situations, and I think that we need to do everything we can to prevent those.
Well, maybe you can explain a little bit how that would have worked. How would that might have prevented that tragedy?
Well, that particular subject, he has been arrested and scheduled or up for deportation multiple times, and under the Biden administration, they did not deport him. And so he was still here and still allowed to commit such a heinous crime right here in our area, right here in Mobile County.
Well, and I asked, like, if you had known about it, or, you know, what if you have a lax administration again, another Democrat administration, is it just, you just wait till the next Republican administration and be able to have these this tool in your tool chest, or does this go beyond that?
No, it's not going to affect that. I mean, I think in those scenarios we would potentially have to come back as a state and pass some stricter, harder penalties dealing with these individuals and ways to deal with that. But as you always say, elections have consequences, and that is absolutely one of them when we are electing, you know, different ones that are very lax on crime.
Last question, we'll get you kind of wrap it up on this. The budgets, so you guys are getting the general fund next. The ETF is going upstairs to the Senate. That is the, you know, that's what the legislature is mandated to do constitutionally. Anything that we need to know about that?
No, just kind of going over everything, watching the budgets, making sure we're staying in bounds or whatever. And, you know, I think Chairman Reynolds has done a great job watching over the general budget, general fund budget. And hopefully, you know, I'm sure there'll be stuff, you know, somebody will try to slip in or try to get added that we don't need. And, you know, that's the whole purpose of this checks and balances, to make sure that that don't happen if we can help it.
Well, it feels like the growth is because we've had, you know, record budgets every year, but it feels like it's starting to flatline a little bit.
Yeah, that's what we've been hearing for the last 3 years, 4 years. You know, and I think this, I think we're potentially looking at it here in the very near future of that really happening. And, you know, we'll have to look at things, make some cuts where needed, and try to make sure we're funding the right agencies and the right programs across the state to keep everything running smoothly.
Well, yeah, I mean, once this wraps, assuming there's, I mean, I guess you could have a special session for if the U.S. Supreme Court does something with redistricting. But beyond that, I looking toward the Tuberville administration, and I think it's going to be a much different ball game here this time of year from now.
Yeah, I think you're right. We're going to be seeing a new governor coming in soon, and from what it appears, I think Tuberville's got the best shot of it. And, you know, I think he's got the energy to come in and start doing some deep dives on things here in the state and the divisions and trying to see where we can, you know, be smarter with that. And I think we're going to be seeing a lot of changes over the next 4 years.
Well, Representative, we won't keep you anymore, but thanks for making time for us.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
And we'll catch up in a couple of weeks. State Representative Shane Stringer there making his every other Monday appearance. 251-343-0106. Still to come on the program. We got Dale Jackson. That's in about 45 minutes or so. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, fan favorite, former state senator Dick Brubaker. Let's get a break in here. We'll return. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Southern Comfort Care.